to me, a big part of ghost stories is how the individual who is being haunted handles the haunting. We hear ghost stories every single day. Thousands upon thousands of them come through every single year. And one of the most interesting aspects of the haunting to me is not even so much just what the ghost does, but what do the people do? What are the living doing in response to the haunting? There's a lot of ways you can look at this. Of course, the first thing anyone should do is try and rule out something logical going on, something that may appear to be supernatural or paranormal, but maybe can be explained with a little bit of investigation. Is there something electrical going on with the home? Is there something magnetic going on with the home? Is there just something outside? Do you have an infestation of woodchucks that happen to enjoy hanging out by your house? One of the grossest things I've ever seen is snakes in siding. We've heard stories of people where we would hear this unexplained noise just running up and down the walls, but it'd only be on the outside walls, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And they'd have electricians come out, they'd have everybody come out, and eventually contractor came out, knew the area, knew what happens to happen in that area from time to time, took off a piece of siding, and voila, Medusa's hair is covering your side of your house. It's that to me, that I'd almost rather have a ghost, I think, than run into that. A couple years back, I didn't have an infestation of them in the side of my house, but I had one on the siding, and he just kind of peeked his head right out, and oh God, that freaked the hell out of me. I was just outside doing some yard work, and all of a sudden this little thing, hi, oh shit. That's not a good feeling, by the way. I would have almost exchanged a ghost encounter for that if I could go back and do it. But you try and reduce those things down. You try and eliminate the possibilities. And once you've eliminated the possibilities of logic, then you can settle on to, well, what else may this be? And then you start to have things that are truly just, not explainable. The snakes aren't going to be moving things around your house at night. The snakes or the woodchucks outside aren't going to be appearing as full-bodied shadow people at 3 a.m. Though that's usually not a thing. Oh, I suppose if you shone the light just right at the woodchuck, you'd have this large, blob kind of, shadow going across the wall, which would be disturbing in itself, but I digress. Oh, once you've determined that there is something paranormal going on, how do you handle it? That from there is a choose-your-own-adventure book. And sometimes it comes down to what your religious beliefs are. Sometimes it comes down to what you're willing to accept. Sometimes it comes down to what your knowledge is of the topic. Sometimes people stir things up far more than they need to be, just because they don't know any better. Sometimes they start summoning more stuff in, using Ouija boards or other things. Things can be stirred up as well with the incorrect practices being used to investigate. Sometimes you get the wrong type of investigators in there that don't know what they're doing, and you can stir it up as well. The reactions are very interesting. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 238, we have two very interesting stories about individuals who discover there is something haunting going on. One of them takes place in a brand new setting as they move around the world for the one that they love, and discover that their flat, their apartment, very haunted. How do they handle it? How does it affect the relationship? We're also going to hear from someone who is in the restaurant business. Goes from restaurant to restaurant, both places, very haunted. How do you handle it when it's at your place of work and the ghosts like playing with the drinks? And they also sometimes like to get a little handsy in one of the cases. Interesting stories and interesting reactions. From Real Ghost Stories Online, this is EPP bonus episode number 238. I am Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Love can make you do crazy things. Although I suppose it's not that crazy to follow the one you love, even if it is across the world into a completely different setting, different place where you have not many prospects for employment. The culture is not anything you're used to or know much about. But hey, you're going to go regardless. And even if it means the building you move into, or more specifically, the room that you live in is very haunted. Something is in it. Something that doesn't necessarily want you there. One of the most frightening things, I think, as a child, when you think about ghosts or really any sort of monster, is the idea of it eating you. You know, it's like that seems to be kind of the go-to. It's an instinctual thing. I think it's like we don't want to be eaten by animals, you know, instinctually. So we also, I think, don't want to be eaten by the monster. What would make it even more terrifying is if you hear the chomping of its teeth, but never actually see its face. In our next story, we hear about someone who traveled across the world for the one that they loved and found that an apartment that wasn't so peaceful. And the friend that helped identify what was going on. It's a creepy story. It's one that you probably won't forget anytime soon. Take a listen. All in my head. The thought that terrifies me. The events in the following account have assaulted many avenues of my life. It has ruined a once promising relationship with someone who I intended to marry, cost me a job, caused my immediate family to doubt my sanity, and has even been to blame for the listing of antidepressant and anti-anxiety on my quarterly health insurance expense summary. And I apologize for the rambling introduction. In September of 2013, I moved to Osaka, Japan to be with my girlfriend at the time. I had met her in London when she was studying there, and we dated for a few years before her student visa ran out and couldn't be extended any further. Lacking any qualifications that would allow for the application of another visa, she had no choice but to go back home. We loved each other very much. And the long-distance thing was wearing us both very thin. So we decided that I would move to Japan and get work with a visa, teaching English, that was the best option at the time. And so I did. After about 6 months of living rent-free with her and her mother and eking out a modest living with my teaching gig, I had finally saved up enough money to move into a flat on my own. My girlfriend needed to stay with her mother on account of her bad back, so she couldn't move in with me. It might have been a lot different if she had. With the help of my girlfriend, I managed to quickly find a small $1,000 flat. A 1K flat is Japanese real estate speak for a single room with a kitchenette and unit bath toilet. It was the size of a room you could expect at a cheap motel. But at that time, for me, I was elated with it. A few short months later, and this room and whatever was in it would ruin my life. I remember it was at the end of the rainy season in July. The first such incident occurred. I'd been in my new flat for about a week and felt that I had organized enough to invite people over. My girlfriend suggested having lunch at my place and inviting her best friend, whom I'll call Kay. I'd be lying if I said I didn't hold her party to blame for everything that happened. It's not as if she had caused everything to happen, but if she'd never entered into my life, I may have been able to live in ignorant bliss instead. I'd never met Kay before that day. Heard about her passing several times. There was certainly never a mention of her having what people call a sixth sense. This was something that was revealed to me shortly after this incident, but it provides a more than adequate explanation of her bizarre behavior at my flat on that hot July afternoon. When I opened my door to let both of them in, Kay stepped into my entrance first. Just as she was about to take another step inside, she froze, as if bolted to the ground. My first thought was that she had just remembered something, like she had left her car unlocked, or something benign like that. The way she stood there with a look of amusement on her face, staring at my flat. My girlfriend urged her inside. She was behind her, but she wouldn't take another step. I was confused more than anything and asked her what the matter was. And she shook her head. She said, "No, I can't come in." And with that, she apologized to both of us and made her way quickly down the hallway to the elevators. My girlfriend looked surprised, but there was something on her face. I specifically remember this detail. There was a hint, very quick and subtle, which suggested to me that this had happened before. A sort of "no, not again" kind of look. This incident wouldn't come up again until a few days later. Kay asked my girlfriend to pass on some gifts to me. 2 small baggies of salt, about 2 tablespoons of salt in each bag, 2 small cups, like shallow sake cups. Well, what do you say when someone presents you with these items? That's right. My girlfriend went on to explain to me a Shinto tradition in which small amounts of ritual salt, salty said, a cleansing agent, are arranged in sake cups and placed in doorways or by windows. This prevents evil spirits from entering the house, as the sanctified salt blocks their passage. Kay had asked her to give them to me with the instructions to place 1 on each side of my door in the entranceway. Of course, I had to ask why. It was at that time that she explained to me about Kay's supposed spiritual power. In Japanese, it's called a Riken. A loose translation would be otherworldly intuition. This is similar to the Western perspective of a sixth sense. I was told she had quite a strong Riken, which was the reason for her odd behavior at my flat a few days before. Also, that look I mentioned before that turned out to be just as I suspected. Similar things had happened before. Once when they were visiting a shrine, one time in a hospital waiting room, another time at a hostel they stayed at in Thailand, and one more in the corridor of a friend's apartment building. The reaction was always the same, she said. Kay begins to look uncomfortable, then refuses to remain in that place. Needs to remove herself from whatever she feels physical. My girlfriend, however, decided to take this eccentricity in good humor. I, of course, thought it was a load of horse shit. I wanted to stress here that in any other situation, I would have laughed calling bullshit on the person that told me. But Kay was important to my girlfriend, and my girlfriend was important to me. So I did as I was instructed to do. I felt like an utter fool. But the next morning, before leaving for work, I set the 2 cups of salt on either side of the front door. Looking back, I wish I hadn't. All right, gonna have to leave you hanging there. Find out what happens in EPP bonus episode number 238. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month. Get access to all the bonus episodes, including the rest of this episode. Another great story in here involving the restaurant industry and a ghost that likes to get a little bit handsy. Also likes throw drinks around too. It's a great, great restaurant ghost story. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. You're going to be very interested to hear how this all ends with the relationship and exactly how it is handled to alleviate themselves of the ghost in this flat. That's all in part 2. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com, $5 a month. Keep us on the air. Get access to all the stuff, all the bonus episodes, and support the show. That's what it's all about. We do this thing for you every single week. All the free episodes, they're not free without your support. So hope you can find $5 a month to help us stay on the air over at ghostpodcast.com. You can even sign up through Patreon. The link is there at ghostpodcast.com. All right. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Please support the show.